Praise God. Tonight I would like to do a little teaching. I want to teach on prayer. Thank God for the 21 days of prayer that the church had. Thank God. Because prayer, the privilege of prayer, is the greatest privilege that you could ever have. God offers you and gives His people, through Jesus, the greatest gift that you could ever have. Listen, I'm not exaggerating. I can't make it like it is. It wouldn't matter if the wealthiest family in this world gave you the right to all of they have. It's nothing outside of the privilege of prayer. Because one little sickness and all their money wouldn't be worth a thing. So there's nothing as great as being able to go in to the Holy of Holies through Jesus Christ, through Him, and talk to God Almighty that spoke and the worlds came into existence. All the stars, this world, He spoke and this world was born. He spoke and the waters receded and the earth came up. He spoke and the sun was there. And this God that is the great, eternal, He, God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the God that chose Abraham, raised up Moses and opened the Red Sea and fed those 3 million people approximately for 40 years without one corn of wheat or anything else. Gave them water out of rocks, sent down food from heaven, fed millions for 40 years. And this God says, come to me and ask me anything, whatever. And it's given to us the privilege to change people, do what nothing else can do. It's given, this privilege is yours. If we understood it, we'd never be discouraged. You never would, because you are given this incredible, incredible privilege of prayer. Tonight, I want to talk to you about five keys to prayer. Five keys to prayer. If you have a pencil, you might want to jot these down just to help make sure you get them straight. Five keys to prayer. Some time ago, about 10 days ago, there was an article in the New York Times written about a young girl, 16 years old, Jessica Elquist. You might have read it in the Times. It was about 10 days ago it appeared. She is from Cranston, Rhode Island, and she is turned to be an atheist. And she demanded they take the prayer down from the wall of the public school. And they did. And she said, little Jessica said, I prayed for my mother to get healed, and she didn't. My mother died. There is no God. He didn't hear my prayer. And that represents millions of people not understanding anything about prayer. You know, it's not like going to the casino and putting a dollar in and just see if something comes out. No, that is not what prayer is. Prayer is not taking a chance. Real prayer, that's real prayer. No, first of all, to understand prayer, you've got to understand there must be, number one, a right relationship with God. You can't walk into the Holy of Holies just anybody, anywhere. No one can walk in there. No one can go into His presence. No one. See, Judaism would help us. This is where the Old Testament is so valuable. For 1,500 years, all the Jews knew, every Jew knew, Israelite knew, that nobody went into the Holy of Holies. Nobody. There was the ark in the holy, in the tabernacle, the holy place, and then the holy of holies, where the ark was and where God's presence was, representing heaven, a picture of heaven. Nobody went in. Just the high priest once a year. He went in with blood. The blood of the Day of Atonement. Once a year, he went in with the blood of the atonement and sprinkled the altar, and the sins of the people of the nation of Israel were forgiven. Everybody knew nobody walks into God Almighty's room. Nobody. They understood that. And how folks think I can just go into heaven. I can go into the God's presence. I can just walk into his presence. No, you can't. No, nobody can. In fact, one young man came to Jesus and said, "In good master," Jesus said, "Wait a minute, son." He said, there's no one good. Nobody's good. Only one," he said, "and that's God. And only if I'm God's son am I good. Nobody is good. No one needs this any more than I do. I'm not telling you something I don't have to tell myself. Ben Crandall can't go into the Holy of Holies. I'm a sinner. Jesus Christ died on the cross, shed his blood, and now he says, you can come in through my shed blood. Through Jesus you can go into the to God's holy presence. That's the marvelous thing. Jesus, we had heard the story years ago about the fact of a shepherd, and he said that when a sheep would die, a small little baby sheep, then the mother the baby's dead, and then if he'd have another sheep that the mother had died, he could not take that little sheep and give it to the other mother. She'd smell that baby sheep and say it's not hers. But if he took the skin off of the dead lamb and put it around it, tied it around the little living lamb, and brought that one into the mother sheep, she would smell his coat and say, "Yes, son, I accept you," and nurse him and save his life. I asked, we had a man from Sicily come to our church, and he was a shepherd. I said, "Is that the truth?" He said, "That's absolutely the truth. That's the way it was." But Jesus Christ says, "Be covered with me. And now with my name, you can go in to the presence of God, not because of you, not because of me, but because I am covered with Jesus Christ. I walk in to God Almighty, and he sees Jesus. I come in, and Jesus said, come in my name. You can come in now because I give you my name and my covering. And you can walk in to the Holy of Holies where only the high priest goes. Now heaven's door is open. When the veil rent in the temple, it was no more the high priest. It's anyone that's covered with the robe of Jesus' righteousness. I can go in to the Holy of Holies. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, God. The door is open and I can walk in not because of me. I can't. You can't. Don't ever think, well, I can go in. No, 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 no. You go in through his name. You go in through Jesus Christ. He made a way. Let's praise him tonight for the way. He made the way. So you go in through him. That's why you go in. Hallelujah. I can come in through Jesus Christ. He's covered me. He's in my heart. His blood has covered me. I'm going in his name. Hallelujah. His name. John 14:12-14. Let's read it. John 14. I want to read it to you tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. John 14, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works I do, he will do also, and greater than these will he do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. In his name, through his blood, and you come in humility, not claiming how good you are. How good I pay. You know, Jesus tells that story in Luke, the 18th chapter. He tells his story and he says, there was a Pharisee that went to prayer. And then a tax collector who was despised, and everybody thought they were crooks and wicked and the worst, the scum. He said a tax collector came, and the Pharisee said, I fast twice a week, I pay tithes, which is good. Fasting is good. And he said, I pay tithes, which is wonderful to pay tithes. And he said, and I'm better than this man, and I keep the Sabbath, I do all these things. And God says, he went home unheard, unheard. But he says, the tax collector says, God, have mercy on me. I am no good. I know it and you know it. Have mercy on me. And he said, I heard him. Praise God. Don't ever go into God because I go to church regular. That's not how you get in. Because I pay tithes. You ought to pay tithes. It'll bless you. It's wonderful. But that doesn't give you the access to God. That's a blessing. It'll help you, but not it won't open the door. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Say Jesus.
Jesus.
Say it loud.
Jesus.
Jesus Christ. His covering. His blood. Is cleansed you, and he now you stand in his righteousness, and you can go boldly to the throne of God, because it's not how good Ben Crandall is. It is, thank God, it is how good Jesus Christ is. He is the Son of God. Hallelujah. You come through Jesus in his name. Hallelujah. And it'll put faith in you. And there's nothing you can't ask for when it's right, because you are coming through Jesus Christ for his glory, for the upbuilding of his kingdom. And God sees Jesus. Hallelujah. He's got to see Jesus when he sees me. Hallelujah. Thank you. Number one, you come humbly in the name of Jesus, in humility. All of us have sinned. There's no one that hasn't. Nobody has the right to walk into the presence of God. Nobody. Care how good they feel they are. You walk in. Everybody comes in one way, through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ and his shed blood. And that's how you're going to heaven. And that's how you get into prayer. And that's how God hears you. Hallelujah. Because you have Jesus Christ. His blood is upon you. I want to lift him up tonight. Lift him up. Cover yourself with his blood and walk in his holiness. Be covered with, take his robe. Hallelujah. Walk in Jesus Christ. And there's an entrance for you. God says, anytime you come in his name, honestly and sincerely, you've got an audience. I'm listening. God Almighty says, I'm listening. Number two, we got to hurry tonight. Number two, praise God. You have to come in with the right relationship to people. Number one, you come in with the right relationship to God. Number two, you have to have a right relationship with mankind. Now, Jesus told this story. He tells this in Mark, the 11th chapter. I'll turn over to Mark, the 11th chapter, and read these words to you. Jesus said in Mark 11, starting at 22, have faith in God. And then he says, you can say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and doubt not in your heart, but believe that those things that you say will come to pass, and it will come to pass. Then he said this, therefore, I say when you pray, believe. And in 25, whenever.
Amen.
Say it loud, whenever.
Amen.
Whenever, any time you stand praying or kneel praying or praying, if you have anything against anyone, say anything.
Anyone.
Forgive. For your Father in heaven, your Father may also forgive you your trespasses. If you do not, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you. So number two, you have to have a right relationship with people, with everybody. Have to. So if you have anything, Jesus said, when you're praying, you've got to pray in the right with the right heart. He said, when you pray, if you have anything against anybody, he said, that's when you're praying. Right then, he says, to get your prayer answered, right then, forgive. Forgive. Whatever happened to you today, forgive tonight. Whatever happened to you, whatever slammed the door in your face or whatever they did or the boss fired you, whatever happened today, forgive him tonight. So your prayer goes through. Whatever you have against anybody. Now you say, I can't. Oh, yes, you can. No, you can't. I understand that because, listen, I've had that problem. So I understand this. But God gives us his forgiveness. It's not that it's easy. No, you can't do it. I can't do it. I know that. You know that. But we ask for your forgiveness. You forgave them. You'll give me your forgiveness. I don't have it. I'm not a forgiving person. I'm a get-even person. But a get-even person doesn't get through to God. So I have to lay that down and give me your forgiveness. Give me your spirit of forgiveness. I have to have your forgiveness. And I get your forgiveness. And then I forgive everybody. I'm right with God. I'm right this way and I'm right that way. Then you're getting places. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're going somewhere. Now, there's just one other little catch on that before we leave it. 1 Peter 3:7 says, he says, husbands, treat your wives right. Wives, respect your husband the way I say. That, 1 Peter 3:7, that your prayers be not hindered. You have to have a right relationship in the family, those closest to you. Then on the outside, those away from you. A right relationship in your personal life with those that you're intimate with your mother, your father, your children, your relatives, your husband, your wife. All of these relationships have to be right. It got quiet in here tonight. Because, listen, we'd like to overlook this. I'd like to say, God, just forget about my conversation today. Now I'm going to say, no. Hold on. God hears everything. He heard you. And beyond hearing, he sees our heart. This short circuits your prayers. That your prayers be not hindered. Don't let your prayers are the most precious, powerful, marvelous thing in the world. Your prayers. You must not let them be hindered. A right relationship shuts you off. Why aren't my prayers answered? Well, check a couple of things out. Are you relationships right? Now, how do I fix it? You go back and say, I was wrong. You go back to your wife, to your husband, to your friends, forgive me, I was wrong. Oh, you corrected. Yeah, you corrected. I didn't think I had. Yeah, yes, yeah. I know you didn't think it, but you do. I do, and you do. You got to correct it. You got to make those relationships proper. Humility. Humility is absolutely essential to being a powerful person in God. It's absolutely essential. You make it right. When you said something wrong, you go back and ask God to forgive you, and you ask the person to forgive you if they're available, but you're willing to go. Well, I can't go. I couldn't find it. Well, you got to be willing to go. You got to have the heart to do it. You know, how many times have I had to go back to my wife? If I had to go back to others, I was wrong. I was wrong. We all do. We all do. We have to. We have to. When you do something wrong, correct it. Humility. Humility is painful, but it's marvelous. Humility is painful, but it's powerful. Humility is something you don't like, but you do like it because you like the results of humility. It blesses you. Proud people don't go anywhere. They're going nowhere. It's humility. Jesus was the humblest man that ever lived. Embrace his humility because it's essential. Praise God. Now you see, what I've been really doing here is just taking up part of the Lord's Prayer. Jesus taught us when we pray, forgive us our sins or our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. It's the Lord's Prayer. It's what he taught us. This is absolutely essential. So number two, number one, a right relationship with heaven. Number two, a right relationship with mankind, close and at far. A right relationship in this direction. Number three, a right request. James 4:3. Let's just turn to the book of James here, 4:3. And let me read it to you. James, I got it here someplace. Here it is, James 4:3. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasure and yourself. Do you not know, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. God doesn't hear enemies. He says you ask amiss because you ask for the wrong reason. You have to have a right request. And that's incredible, the amount of right requests. What a wrong request is for the wrong purposes. It won't glorify God. It won't bless you in the end. It'll hurt you. It'll hurt somebody else. And it harms the kingdom. Those are rules that cannot be. God is never going to do something that hurts somebody, that hurts you, that hurts the kingdom, that hurts God's work. Those things he won't do. That's out. Anything that is for his glory and for the furtherance of the kingdom and for the right reasons, God will do nothing that will hinder you spiritually for you. He will not answer a prayer that will harm you spiritually or anyway. He loves you too much. You are loved by God. He loves you. Good parents will not give their children wrong things. And he said, how much more will he give good things? He'll give you anything good that's for your good and for the good of the kingdom. But it has to be for the right reasons. So your prayers have to be right. You can't pray against somebody. God hurt that. That person hurt, did me wrong. I hope you do them wrong. You know, those, please don't waste your time with those kind of prayers. That doesn't work. Jesus said, pray for your enemies, a blessing on them. God, bless my enemy. Only God can help you pray that prayer. But when you begin to pray those kind of prayers, you're getting to where the prayers you want are going to be answered. God will hear you. A right relationship with God, a right relationship with mankind, with everybody, close and far, and right prayers coming out of a heart that's humble, that's right toward God. Then it is limitless. The prayers are limitless. The power, the ability for you to communicate with God is limitless. And He wants you. He longs for you to be able to exercise this incredible privilege that God gives to you. Pray powerful, humble, right prayers. Praise God. Praying the right things for the right reasons. And it's limitless. There is no limit to it, to what God will do for you in the right reasons for the right requests. Right toward God, right toward people, and right from your heart. Your heart is praying the right prayers. Praise God. Now, let's come to the fourth one, which is more on the positive side. Number four, when you pray, have faith. Number four is faith. Faith. Believe. Believe when you pray. Believe it. God's going to help us tonight to get into believing. Praise God. Mark 11:23. We'll turn to Mark's gospel. 11:23. I read part of it a while ago, the last part. I say to you, whatever says to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, the sky's the limit. Believe that you receive them and you will have them. Have faith in God. And in humility, in realizing how you're approaching God is through Christ's name and with the right heart, there is nothing impossible for you. Nothing impossible for you. Nothing, nothing. Because we're talking about God Almighty. Hallelujah. There's nothing impossible for your prayers. You can pray for whatever is needed, whatever has to be. Doesn't matter how big it is, whatever the mountain is. Hebrews 11:6 says, it speaks so well. In Hebrews 11:6 says, is it without faith, it is impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He is a rewarder. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Now let's talk a little bit on faith. What will help your faith? Praise helps your faith. Praise is a faith builder. Praising, that's why this worship here is so important. And I love it. I love the worship here. It helps me. I get inspired because as we sing, as we praise, as we think of the answers to prayer, as we begin to worship God, hallelujah, hallelujah, when you begin to praise Him and you think of all that He's done and you think of the scriptures and the promises, but praising God, praise lifts, builds faith. worshiping God lifts you into His presence. He says, come enter my courts with praise. Enter His gates with thanksgiving because it helps your faith. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. With praise because it helps you to have faith. Hallelujah. If you think of all the things He's done, begin to recite the things He's done and then go through the promises. Learn the promises. Learn those promises. Quote those promises and those psalms. Hallelujah. And that's why the book of Psalms is so important, because it's full of praise and it's a faith builder. Hallelujah. It'll build your faith and it'll bring you out of the doldrums and out of the dumps and it'll lift you up. Hallelujah. Praise you, God, because you've got to lift. David said, I will, Psalm 34, His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Don't talk down. Don't listen to all the devil. Talk the word of God. Speak faith. Read the promises. Get into the book. Hallelujah. And let your faith become strong. Hallelujah. The promises, quoting the promises, will help your faith. My mother was a tremendous woman of prayer. In fact, when you see me, you're seeing an answer to prayer. And you're seeing Hebrews 6, a diligent prayer, fervent. Praise God. A fervent prayer, God says. A fervent prayer. Casual, no. Fervent prayer. Fervor. Intensity. Seriousness. That brings faith. And it helps your prayer. It brings you through to the victory, into the presence, and faith into you. See, when I was working in Washington, D.C., never wrote to my mother because I didn't want to hurt her. And I was unsaved, and I would have been killed. God showed her that in the war. I was drafting. I would have been sent overseas because I was part of those that were drafting for the bombings of Europe and Japan. I was in the early days, we were only about 100 of us doing all the maps, and I was selected to be one of them. And my mother got on her knees and took the promises and read them and wrote them and wrote those promises out by hand to remind them to God and to put a faith in her. And my brothers and sisters that were home, the ones that were home, said, get off your knees, Mama, come up and eat. Get out of the floor. She's never leaving here. Not leaving this floor till God saves my son. I'm staying here till I get an answer to my faith touches God. And after 3 days on the floor, 3 days on the floor, reading the scriptures, crying out to God to save her son. I'm the son that she's praying for. Hadn't heard from me in so many months. God arrested me on the streets of Washington, D.C., Northwest, MacArthur Boulevard, at 3 o'clock in the morning. He sent the detectives after me, hallelujah, and arrested me, praise God. And I cried out to God on the street, stopped, and prayed, God, save me, change me. In 2 weeks, I was in Bible school, praise God. Because, why? Somebody prayed fervently. So you're seeing it. I'm here. You're seeing me tonight. You're listening to me tonight because of a woman you'll meet in heaven that was fervent in prayer and praising, seeking God, and faith came into her and prayed that God would save me. She got up and said, I've heard it. I've got the assurance. God will save him. And here I am. He answers prayer. He wants to. Now, another thing that will help you, is praise is absolutely essential, the promises, and then it is obedience. Obedience is very important to faith. Abraham obeyed God, and it was counted to him. He obeyed God. You have to listen to God. You can't have your own way and be a person of faith and of power. You have to be able to listen to God. Listen. In humility, you listen to what He says. When He says to you, go back and make that right, listen to Him. When he speaks to you to give, to do something, to go speak to somebody, listen to him. He's a speaking God. I don't ever hear from him. Well, you aren't turned into the right station. Because God is a communicating God. He's a speaking God. He wants to talk to you. If you're not hearing and he's not talking, you're not listening. He's a speaking God. You see, I was praying. We were building the church in 7th Avenue in Brooklyn in 64th Street years ago, and we had the lot given to us. Today it'd be worth, the land would be worth $2 or $3 million. And the land was given to us, and we were building the church and had it up, and I was struggling to make those payments to pay for it. And I got down and prayed and says, God, help us pay, make these monthly payments and the pay. We only had, a couple of hundred people in a building with seats between 700 and 800, and we were struggling. And I'm praying, and God said, I want you to give everything you have. Give everything. Well, that wasn't what I wanted God to say. I had borrowed money from the bank and given that. I'd gone to my mother who had retired, and we were supporting my mother, and the church was, because she was the founder of the work. I went to her and said, Mama, we're trying to pay for the church. We need some money. Could you raise the mortgage on your house? This is how desperate I was. My mother said, absolutely. Raise the mortgage as high as the bank will give you. Take the money and give it to the church. I did it. I had a house, a land, and my father had given me a piece of land, my father-in-law, in Connecticut, and my brother had built me a house so that when we retired, we would have some income. We'd have a home, a house. It's a small house, and my brother built it, and I'd helped him, but he did it to help me, and my father-in-law gave me the land to help me. I had sold the house, and I loaned the money to the church. And God said, I want you to give that money, give the house, give it all, give it everything, give it all, everything. Well, it's easy to tell the story, but to do it is something else. But I prayed and I said, God, if that's what you're saying and you're going to, he said, if you want me to take over a deposit, then you do what I tell you and I'll pay for the church. I went to Gene. God bless my wife. And I said to Jean, God says for us to give that money, not just loan it, give it all, everything we have, all of it. She said, are you sure? You sure God said that? I said, yeah, I'm sure. Well, she took some time. If he said it, let's do it. Let's do it. Now, let me tell you something. That was the smartest thing I ever did outside of getting saved and getting married and a couple other things were smarter than that. But that was smart, was wise, because immediately I had faith. God paid off the place, the church, paid it off remarkably. And I had faith. I had faith. The obedience brings faith into you. Now, I had faith for real. I've given everything. I went back to Connecticut to where we had given it and sold the house where I come from, Mystic. And I went to the real estate and said, what have you got for sale? Well, he said, I've got this wonderful house here owned by Mr. Levy of 535 Fifth Avenue, New York. He lived right here. He had a big multimillionaire manufacturer here in the city. One of his summer homes. This was his summer home. Wonderful, nice big house, a guest house, and a tower overlooking the ocean. And he said, I got that. And he said, we got an offer on it. And but he said, Levy will never take that offer. And boy, at first I thought, wow, that's, I don't have faith for all that. And right off. So I tried to buy the small house, the guest house. And the bank said, with the kind of income that you have, you should be looking more at a doghouse than something, not at a guest house. Turn me down. And I came back and thought about it. And he told me he got this tremendous offer, and faith came into me. I said, offer him $1,000 more. And he said, he won't take it. I said, do what I said. You're the agent. Do what I say. And we made the offer. And I went back to the bank. And the bank said, now, we didn't want you to have the make a mortgage on the little house, but now if you're going to get that, maybe we will do business with you. We want that property. So we'll give you a mortgage. You come up with so many $1,000 down, and we'll give you a mortgage on that. Here, the same bank. And I had to have these for several thousand dollars. The day came, and I didn't have it. And I waited all day. I said, oh, my. What am I going to do? I'm watching this. This is an absolute gift. Go through my hands. And I called Mr. Levy to tell him that I don't have the down payment. And Levy, I called my attorney. And my attorney, he said, oh, Reverend Crandall, is that you? I said, yeah, it's me. I'm way down. He said, I'm so glad you called me. I said, boy, I'm not glad I called you. And he said, okay, listen, before you say anything, he said, I got a request. I said, what is it? He said, I don't have the papers ready. I need more time. Oh, I said, you do. He says, yeah, he says, how about a couple? He said, well, how about a month? I said, well, how about a month? He said, oh, that'd be wonderful. I said, now listen, when that month is up, you have those papers ready. I said, I am not going to make it a twice. I said, it's just once. When the month was up, I had somebody, my friends loan me the money. I went in and bought that place without a penny, sold the little house, paid back the loan, put a down payment on that beautiful house on Narrows Avenue. If you look at it today, it's fabulous, on Narrows Avenue, and had a summer home without a penny. Praise God. Hallelujah. Does it work? You see, obedience brings faith. What if I hadn't have given that? And that isn't the end of the story. I won't take any more time. But it led me to believe for millions for the school that I was to become the president of. Listen, folks. Obedience, humility, and obedience builds your faith. Don't be afraid to listen. When God says do this, give, do, go, listen to him. Let the Spirit lead you. The sky is the limit. What God wants to do in these last days for his people. Praise God. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Romans 8:32. Believe it tonight. Become a man and a woman of prayer. And let's review it for shortly tonight. Let's remember right relations with God, right with mankind, the right prayers. And the last point, and I'm all finished with point five, you never give up. Whenever you start on something, you hold on to it until the answer comes. Point five, hold on. And God answers prayer not the way you thought, but bigger. Mark, it's Luke 18:1. Jesus gave this parable that man ought always pray and not faint. Always pray and never give up is the translation. Never surrender. You think of Lazarus, Mary and Martha, when Lazarus, they sent Jesus to come and pray for heal Lazarus. He didn't come. And they were so disappointed. He didn't come. Days went by, 2 days. Finally, he's dead. After 4 days, 2 days back to get there, it was 4 days, Lazarus had been dead. And Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. The greatest miracle that no doubt he ever performed. It didn't come when they wanted him. He didn't do what they thought, but he did. He came at his time, and he did infinitely more than they ever dreamed or imagined. He was in this story. He's blessed millions. Lazarus has blessed millions. He came. He comes not how you think, but be it better. Not any way, but beyond what you think. He is God Almighty. Hallelujah. You've got to trust him and hold on to those promises, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the God that wants to answer your prayer, to make you powerful in your family, in this city, in this church, and at the end time, he's raising up an army. And how are we going to go? On our knees. Be powerful in prayer. Remember, 5 points. Right with God. Right with humanity. Right request. In faith, believing, and determined. In perseverance, we hold on till the answers come. God bless you, everyone. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Pastor, God bless you.
Bless the Lord. Praise God. Now, I want to give an altar call tonight. It's real simple. You got a mountain you can't climb. You have a river you can't cross. You got a prison door you can't get out of. You got a situation before you that's impossible. Jesus said, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the midst of the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, he shall have that which he prays for. You and I have got to believe God. There's a point of our walk, there's a point of faith where we simply have to believe God. We can't look at the circumstances anymore. We determine, as we heard tonight, to walk in right relationship with God, with our fellow man, and we're doing what we do. We're asking for the right reasons, that Jesus Christ be glorified in the earth, and that my life and your life bear fruit to the honor of his name. And we can come to the Lord and say, God, it's no glory to you that I can't get out of this prison. It's no glory to you that I stay in this weakness. It's no glory to you if my enemies are overpowering me. But, oh God, live or die, I cast my heart and my faith into the working of your life and your word within me. And I'm asking you, God, to take this out of the way. And I'm believing that you will, because I'm asking it according to your will. And you're going to use me for your glory in this last hour that I'm living in. I am not going to live in mediocrity. I'm not cowering under the power of darkness any longer. I'm not living in the fear of my mind. I'm going to trust God that his word's going to live in me. His promises are going to become more real than life and breath itself. He's going to take me out of weakness and bring me into the strength that he promises to those who belong to him. If that's the cry of your heart, then you belong at this altar tonight. You belong at this place where we just simply come and say, God, I'm leaving unbelief behind me. I'm not living in unbelief anymore. I'm not going to join the 10 spies who went into the promised land, saw that it was everything, and actually agreed it was everything that God said it was, and then come back with an evil report of unbelief in my heart. I'm not living there. I'm not going to be responsible for this generation not finding Christ. By the grace of God within me, I'm going to be everything that God has called me to be. And in Christ's name, we command every mountain to get out of the way, every prison door to open, every bruise to be healed, every place of blindness to be given sight, in the name of Jesus. Would you just step out of your seat tonight, wherever you are? You've heard the word of God. Just as we stand together, just come on out in the balcony, go to either exit and come down, and we're going to pray together, and we're going to believe God for a miracle tonight. We're going to believe this to be the beginning of something brand new in your life. Just come on as we worship for a moment here. Jesus. Lord, we want you to be honored in this generation. Lord, we don't want to turn back because of the giants in our own lives, Lord, and the things that we face that want to put us into fear. And you've intertwined the honor of your very name into delivering us and keeping us. God, we ask you tonight in Jesus' name to give us a victory that is deeper than anything we can produce. It's more marvelous, more powerful than anything that we can do. Give us a victory, Lord, that causes us to stand back in absolute awe of you. Open their prison doors. Give sight to our poor eyes, O God. Give strength, Lord, in our hearts to know, Lord, that it pleases you to take the weak and it pleases you to take the poor and the nobodies and nothings of the world. And you yourself told us that we're the ones that you give your power to. And you cause us to rise up and you change us so dramatically. And you give us giftings, Lord, that we can't ever stir up in ourselves. And you do it that your name be glorified among people, that others may look and see that they too have hope and they have a helper and they have a chance at victory. God Almighty, don't let us die in unbelief, Lord. Don't let us cower down into nothingness. Lord, you brought us to the edge of incredible promise again. A season, Lord, where we can know great victory in our lives and our families and our city. Where you're calling us to the throne to ask for things, Lord, that only you can do. It's an age of miracles again, Lord. And I hear you. I hear you, Holy Spirit, calling me. God, help us not to cower back or to fail because of our own short reasonings. Give us the strength, God, to believe you. Give us the desire to say, live or die, I do all to the glory of God. Oh, Father, give us the ability, Lord, to believe that you are the God of the supernatural. You really do create in us what we don't have, and you really do wonders in us and through us. It says of your disciples that they saw that they were unlearned men and they marveled at the wisdom that was in them. God, do that for us, Lord. We're in a darkened hour. This is a darkened generation, a darkened city, Lord, that needs to see the glory of God. And there's no other way but through your people. And so here we are, Lord, in our frailty, with our lack of degrees, Lord, and with no battle strategy, but we have you, Lord, the God who created the universe, who spoke it into existence with the words of his mouth. And this is who we come to by invitation. And Lord, we ask you to do what can't be done any other way. And Father, do it sovereignly and supernaturally that our mouths would have to open in praise to you. We'd have to speak to other people about what you've done. We'd have to lead them to you, Lord. Father, we thank you for this, Lord. God Almighty, do it tonight, Lord. Lord Jesus Christ, one more time, just one more time, before time as we know it ends, come and glorify your name. Father, you said to your son Jesus, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. Lord, glorify it again. Glorify your name one more time by taking us out of death and weakness and darkness, and by lifting us into the life that is ours and promised to us through Jesus Christ. God, help us to stay humble as you touch us, Lord, and begin to do the sovereign things that only God can do through us, Lord. Help us, God, not to touch the glory, but to give it to you, Lord, to have your name alone on our lips. Lord, we read of David's mighty men came out of that cave, and they went in weak and destitute and came out strong, and they took on armies and lions, Lord, and they fought and brought glory to your name. Oh, God, it's wonderful that happened in history, but here we are, one more generation, one more time, Lord, one more hour of darkness, one more season, Lord, where you need to glorify your name again. And it's your choice to use us, oh, God. We don't come to you with a battle strategy, Lord. We come to you with our weakness, Lord, trusting in your strength and your power and your might, Lord, to be manifested through us one more time. One more time as the Church of Jesus Christ. One more time, O God. Tonight at this altar, raise up preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. One more time, Lord, let the giftings of the Holy Spirit begin to abound. Let them be used righteously and honorably for your name's sake and for your kingdom's sake. My God Almighty, glorify your name. Oh, Jesus, glorify your name in New York City, in our boroughs, in our homes, Lord, everywhere we go, where we travel, where we walk. We ask you only one thing, glorify your name, oh God. Glorify your name. Take us out of weakness and make us strong. We will give you the praise. We'll give you the honor. We'll give you the glory, for yours is the only kingdom, the only power, the only glory, now and forever. No other name, Lord, no other kingdom, no other strategy but the name of Jesus, no other power but the cross. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Take your church all over the city, God. Every church, every denomination, Lord. Every place where somebody is seeking you, God. And let your glory come again. Thank you for this, Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we believe you tonight. With all our hearts, we will not draw back. We will not shrink down in unbelief. We will not walk away from our enemies. God, we will face everything. Every lie of the devil that tells us we can't, we will face it in the strength of our God. Better to die on the side of faith than live as a coward in unbelief. My God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. I'm asking you tonight that tomorrow people would know that something has happened at this altar. Tomorrow, Lord, I'm asking that specifically. Tomorrow, when we wake up, there'll be something of faith in us. Wake us up at 3:00 in the morning with something of faith in us, with a song, with an expectancy, with an inner joy we can't explain. God, with an anticipation of what you're about to do in us and through us, Lord, wake us up in the middle of the night, oh God. Lord, speak to us plainly, clearly about what you're going to do, and help us to believe you and not to draw back again into unbelief. Father, we thank you for it with all our heart. We praise you and we give you the glory tonight in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Now give God praise tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm a friend of God. I am a friend of God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I am. I expect you to be woken up at 3:00 this morning. I fully expect it. And God is going to speak to your heart. Hallelujah. Let's give him praise as we go tonight. God bless you.